Shall we just pass this back and forth?
Yeah.
I want to start with an opening prayer, but I had a vision during the worship that I want to share with you guys. You know those kind of war elephants with the big platform on their back? Mm-hmm. You ever seen pictures of that? I saw that, and it was going through a wood, and there were some people on the back of it. It might have been children, I'm not sure. So I didn't see this perfectly clearly. And coming down from the sky were these flaming rose petals. Then they were scarlet, but they were on fire, and at the same time, they were rose petals. And it was almost like a snowstorm of... those guys touching that.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm going to read to you the list of the things about the lion that Nancy's put together here. And then Nancy's going to give a little intro to the lion, and I'm going to teach you guys how to do some things that will allow you to exercise dominion and power over your own lives. Hopefully better. All right, the kingly side of God. This is the lion. The Lord who reigns and commands. Dominion brings God's order and rule, makes boundaries, speaks to create and tear down, violence and irresistible force, justice, authority, territory, war, discipline, deliverance, overt strength, judgment, apostolic development of other people's giftings, claiming people as mine the way the Lord does.
We talked about the lion in relationship to other, the other four living creatures, and the lion is very much kind of not in opposition, but it's the complement of the ox, because in the lion, that's where you are. The basic goal in the lion is taking over territory for God. You know, the dominion idea of, okay, now we're going to get this whole thing and we're going to bring it towards God and bring divine order in. It's like government, you know, and making a structure and seeing a certain, you know, in our government we have like a certain party comes into rule and then they're supposed to be, you know, in charge. And so what we're looking for in the lion is for God to take territory for God and then let God's rule and reign be over that, basically like God wanted to do in Israel. We want it for every area of our life, and we want that to begin to expand. There are people like Heidi Baker. What Heidi Baker has done in Mozambique, very much of like similar to the lion, of going in there, and she's taken over so much territory with over 10,000 churches. And I think that at different times, if we imagine that each person, if they could learn how to begin to have dominion in the different areas that they're in, their family, in their job, you know, wherever they have influence, with their friends or whatever, just the amazing amount of things coming into alignment with God as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's all part of the lion. But so often Christians have been convinced that being a Christian is all about being the loser, the one who gives up everything, who's weak. And there is a place for that in the relinquishment things of the ox. But, you know, Jesus didn't just die on the cross. He also marched into hell and stole Satan's keys of death and rose from the dead. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so in our lives, we're going to have ox moments, but we also are meant to have some lion moments too, where we start to see victory and we see that, you know, one function of the lion is to be able to speak forth something and see it created, see it happen. And by you speaking it, it helps it to happen. The power of the spoken word. That's a function of the lion. And you have a few people in Christianity, like some of the name it, claim it people, and they're using the whole idea of the lion. But like I told you earlier, you don't want that stuff to be out of balance. You want to have that. You want us to have this as part of our repertoire, but don't make it exclusively the only thing we do. We never deal with our counseling issues. We never learn the life of relinquishment, and we, you know, that kind of a thing. And of course, the eagle and the lion are both more of the power side of the equation. So,
Do you want to?
All right. I want to teach you guys some basics, some things that ought to be basics, really, for little kids. That I've taught some of the things I'm going to teach you, I've taught little kids, and it helps them a lot. So I think we're going to just start and talk about our attitude as we look out at life. I'll describe to you how I feel. I feel like I have two very powerful parents, and I live in a beautiful, very pleasant house, kind of a suburban house, and there's a great big picket fence yard, big yard with lots of trees all around it. And everyone who comes in my yard has to be polite to me. And they, you know, no one's allowed to smack me in my yard because my parents are there and it's my yard. And everywhere I go, my yard goes with me. And my parents goes with me. So every place I go, to some degree, I own and expect a certain amount of courtesy and cooperation because it's my yard. And the Lord, you know, it says the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord. So he owns everything, so you can quite reasonably lay claim to anything. So whoever has the most spiritual authority, essentially, gets to make the rules. So there's positional authority. An example of positional authority is like a bus driver. Or a Georgia policeman can arrest you in Georgia, but he can't arrest you in Carolina. Or a taxi cab driver, it's his taxi cab. So positional authority is given. A pastor has positional authority over his church. Now, he may have spiritual authority over his church, or he may not. It depends. Sometimes when the chips are down, the old lady in the back row who really prays really well is the one they go to when things are tough. In other words, you don't automatically get spiritual authority because you have a position that has a spiritual side to it. Ordination should invest you with spiritual authority, and usually it does, but it's not a guarantee. And of course, if you neglect it, it will leave you. So I've been ordained. I'm, believe it or not, Reverend Richard. That's pretty funny, isn't it? And I can marry people if anyone would like to get married. Okay. So this first thing I'm going to teach you is extremely simple, but it's very important, and it's called atmosphere control. And I learned this in the order when I was 22. So I've been doing this for a long time. And anything I do for a long time has a pretty pragmatic reason to do it, because I don't have any patience with things that don't work. Okay, so jazzy stuff that doesn't work for me. Okay, your atmosphere, everybody has this really, every human has an electrical field around them, and it has been photographed. The Russians photographed it at one time. It's called Krillian photography. You can look it up. And even plants have an electrical field around them. The New Age people call this your aura. I call it your atmosphere. But it's just sort of like a belly button. You can go to India. You can go to Norway. Everybody's got belly buttons. Everybody's got atmospheres. Okay. If you think that your body ends at your skin, you've been making a very serious mistake for a long time. And you've been walking around, sort of metaphorically, out in the snow without any clothes on. It's fun. It's great to be naked in the shower. It's crap to be naked in a snowstorm, isn't it? Okay. So I want to show you guys how to control this electrical field around you so that you will have the government of what comes in and what comes out. So that's what we're going to learn today. And prophetic people, particularly our spiritually sensitive people and children, can be very overwhelmed by the impressions of the world around them because they don't have this part of their body under control. And do any of you hate to go shopping? I know I'm with a bunch of women. Oh, somebody, I got some women here to know. Oh, you guys don't like to go shopping. Oh my God, all of you hate to go shopping. Yeah. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among women. Bless you, may your kind multiply. I just detest shopping. I don't like going in new grocery stores where I have to look for stuff and I don't know where they are. Because what that does is it opens me up as I look, and then the confusion of the minds of the people around me and tends to enter in. It's sort of like going into a Best Buy and they got all the TVs going at one time, which I just hate. Okay, but I can either take that in more or less. If you have no control at all, it can be overwhelming. And there are people who really become somewhat reclusive or withdrawn because they're just being overwhelmed. It's not really their nature to be withdrawn. But they can't take it, basically. Okay, so here's what you do. I want you all to Now, is this going to work with the thing? I'll just hold
it. It'll be fine.
Okay, put your hands out like this, palm up. Do your palms like when you're worshiping. You know how you put your hands up and try to feel God? Mm-hmm. But flat, no, flat. Don't take that position, but try to make your palms sensitive. Like you do. Okay? All right, I want you to feel now and see if you can feel the edges of this electrical field around you. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an awful lot of people close together, so mm-hmm. I hope we can do this.
Can I move?
Yeah, move. Sure. It's tough when there's so many people so close together. So if it doesn't work, spread out. That's all. Okay, put your hands like this. Usually I teach one person at a time. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, can you feel it now? Okay, now this is the open position. Whoa. So I want you just to say open.
Open.
And imagine this, an 8-foot circle all around you, completely, you know, surrounding you, being open. Okay, now I want you, when you say close, I want you to clench your hands and imagine that almost like Venetian blinds. You know, you pull the string and they mm-hmm. and it closes. I want you to imagine it's going to, like those blinds over there, it's going to go click, 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 and it's going to close around you, okay? So take your hands, put them, clench them, say close.
Close.
Okay, see if you can feel the difference. Okay, see what that feels like. Okay, again, open. Let the energy in, open up your, undo your shutters. Let it in. Okay, once again, close. Can you tell the difference? Okay, now you can do that 2 or 3 times on your own at home. And if you'll learn to do this when you're around people who are negative, which most people are to some degree, their energy won't get into you. Another benefit is, how many of you have been around a person who, when they come around you, that you feel tired? It's like your energy leaves you. Okay, well, what's happening is that because you don't have any boundaries on your energy, it just flows to the lowest point. So it's almost like water going downhill. So if you don't like that feeling of being drained when certain people come around you, then you become conscious of this energy, kind of see it as a ball of light. It's like a hamster ball. It's like your own little personal hamster ball. And you open it, like if you're in worship, it's almost like at home. You walk around your underwear at home. So you're going to open it when you're very, really comfortable and safe. Maybe you could be at church or with some friends or something like that. But most of the time, when you're in the wide, wide world, it's going to be closed. You see what I mean? Now, not closed like desperately closed, just generally closed. Okay? And if you're let's pretend you're at a place that's really obnoxious. Well, then you close it all together. And actually, if you learn to use it, you can make it do other things, like to repel people or tell them, you know, to give them the message to go away, or to exhibit, like say you're in a rough neighborhood or something, you can make it so that you seem like one of the last people they should bother, without making a lot of faces and stuff. So people are very good at reading what other people are up to. If you don't have this basic step, you're going to be prey to, for instance, more demonic penetration into your thoughts, more people stealing your energy, and more less ability to be your own person. Okay, you're going to be the consequence of other people's thoughts, feelings, and behaviors rather than just being your own person. All right. Next. Your expectation as to how you're going to be treated and your deepest held beliefs. If you believe that you're loved, if you are believe that life is going to work out well for you, if you believe people are going to cooperate with you, they will pretty much cooperate and do, largely they will do that. And the reason they should is because you belong to Jesus. See, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But it's not that you get all snotty because people cooperate with you, because it's really Jesus they love, and I love him too, so we could just all have a party together. It's not a case of one-upmanship with your fellow man. It's a case of walking as a representative and ambassador of the Lord consciously in this world to elicit cooperation and to take territory. I mean, how do you think the Bible says take territory till I come? Occupy. Well, how do you occupy? Do you just buy stuff like Donald Trump? I mean, should we all become billionaires and buy lots of real estate? Okay, we occupy by using the authority of Christ to own different pieces of territory, our cities, our homes, whatever. Go ahead, Nathan, if you have something. Okay. This next thing I'm going to show you is an offensive weapon, which there's very few of for the Christian in a prayer sense, that avoids the problems of charismatic witchcraft and works dandy. And I just love things that work dandy and don't get me in trouble. And so this is called the spiritual barbed wire, and we learned this on a mission trip to Brazil. I think it was the first mission trip.
Yeah, it was.
And people are scared on those mission trips because most of them, I'd say the average age on those mission trips is probably 47 or 50, and there's a lot of 60-year-olds and even older than that. And a lot of them don't have a big history of ministry. So for the first time, they're out of the country for a lot of them. They're in a foreign country, and they're expected to go minister to sometimes 4,000 people. There's 60 of you to pray for 4,000 people who are expecting and really hoping that you will heal them. Okay, now I was in ministry for 20 years before I did that, gave the sermons every Sunday, baptized people, all that stuff, and that scared me. That's scary. I mean, the Brazilians are pushy too. As big as I am, those guys just shoved me up against the stage. And if there hadn't been a stage there, they would have just kept shoving. You know, it's not that easy to shove me. But there's 4,000 of them, and they're like, heal me. Anyway, I thought it was scary, but at least I've had a lot of experience. Now, think about just being an older woman who's never been out of the country, who's never done any ministry, never healed anybody. How'd you like that? So the people are scared. And the old hands who've done it before are usually running around telling the new guys, almost like the troops are going to the battle for the first time, the sergeants are calming them down and stuff. They're saying, you're going to get healing before the night's over. Just you wait and see. It's going to be great. And they're telling the truth. You will. But, you know, I was glad to hear that, weren't you, Nancy? So Nancy and I are going around. We're trying to, you know, as best we can. We weren't old hands, so we couldn't do that. But we were trying to calm people down. And there was a woman there. And unfortunately, there seemed like there's always two or three people on these ministry trips who actually work for Satan. I think it's like Satan's travel bureau sends these people, like they should have little horns or something, or maybe a special badge. I love Satan, like I heart Satan. And a lot of times they've been Christian counselors. I'm going, what the heck? How could you possibly be a counselor? You're mean as a snake. Oh my God. So anyway, one of those nasty ladies who was a Christian counselor, believe it or not, who worked for the devil, started talking to one of these older ladies who was really afraid, and she said, you're like a little lost dog. You're running around here like a little lost dog. And it greatly offended the lady, and it greatly offended me. And I'm kind of going like, oh, hell no. That we're not going to have that. But I didn't have any positional authority on that trip. But lucky for me, I had quite a bit of spiritual authority as far as the group goes. And there were some people there that had me beat, but the people who have more spiritual authority than you, if you have a significant amount, are not going to collide with you because their aims will be in accord pretty much with what... Mm-hmm. In other words, what we're going to do is invoke some Bible positives here in a very powerful way. So they're not going to be at odds. So you don't have to sit there and have the thing of going all around the room going, okay, who's got the most spiritual authority? You know, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to do that. That's burdensome. Okay. So anyway, but this was all happening fresh, okay? I didn't have this big class here all worked out for me. And I just said, man, I'm not going to have that. And I just decided, I said, well, this is my bus. So I started saying, on my bus, people speak to each other respectfully. And on my bus, people are kind, and on my bus, people are helpful, and on my bus, people are cooperative, and on my bus, people are caring. And then I saw these three strands of razor wire, look just like, you know, you ever seen the razor wire around prisons? It's about 2 inches thick, and it's solid metal, and it's razor sharp on both sides, and there's three strands of razor wire, and these buses are big, you know, they seat 60 people, came down the middle of the aisle of the bus, and it's, you know, glowing there, and I'm going like, damn, that's, you know, whoa, that's awesome. I like that. So there it is. And that, without me ever saying that lady's name, without me ever saying, like, so let's pretend her name was Sharon from Hell. Sharon from Hell is kind. Sharon from Hell is nice. I never did that. I never used any negatives. I never said people don't speak unkindly to each other. So no negatives. A biblical positive doesn't mean you have to say it in King James English, but it needs to be identifiable as a biblical value. Okay? That's all. You don't get to just make up stuff like people in my world only smoke Pall Malls. You know, you don't get to do that. So, anyway, that lady lost her voice for, I think, 3 or 4 days. And we had several trips like that. And I'll just give you some instances about things like that that happened. We were in Israel looking at the temple. I mean, we've used this a bunch on the trips, but I've taught a lot of people to do this. So I'm going to give you some ways that it works, and then we're going to try it, okay? All right. And there was this crazy guy on the trip. Here we are looking at the temple for the first time, and I was literally moved to tears, which for me is extremely unusual. I don't know why, but the temple made me cry. And this nutty guy comes up and goes, I could kill you with my bare hands.
he's a member of the trip.
And he's on the trip, you know, and he's about this tall, and he looks like, you know, a little froggy-looking guy. And he's been to Vietnam, and I think got hit in the head or something. I don't know what's wrong with him. And I'm looking at him like, you what? I mean, I could just run away from him. He'd die from a heart attack. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even have to hit him. And, you know, I'm towering over this little guy. And he's like, I can kill you with my bare hands. I'm thinking like, what? So I'm sort of wondering what to do. And then he goes up to some women on the trip. And he goes, I can kill you with my bare hands. You know, we all just flew to Israel to see the temple for the first time. And this retard's going around telling people he can kill him with his bare hands, including the women. So I went again, oh, shall I say, oh, heck no, or something for our records? Okay, oh, heck no for you lily-livered type folks. Oh, heck no, I said. Oh, shucky darns, I don't like this. And so I did. I said, on my trip, everyone is sane. on my mission trip, everyone is sane. He spent almost 8 days in the hotel. He couldn't get out of bed. That's how sick he got. Now, I never said his name. I never cursed him. Now, I could curse people. I know that. But the guy, you know, the paybacks on cursing people is worse than the curse. So he spent 10 days in the... Basically, we didn't see him more. His wife would come out, and we felt sorry for her, you know. And we go, "Hey, how's old? Oh, he's terrible. He's horrible." So, anyway, that we got rid of him. Okay, now here's some more secular examples. Several times, people were unkind to some people that are close to me at work, and I feel it's my job to protect people that are close to me in my life. And so there was a manager, and I won't do this for trifles. I mean, it's got to be, the people have to be acting up. You don't just do this for the heck of it. And it was a manager who had worked there for 5 years, working days and no weekends. And she was being really mean to this person. And so I said, in my world, people are cooperative, in my world, people are kind, in my world, people are loving, in my world, people are fair, in my world, people are considerate of others. And she, within a month, got transferred, I think it was 3 weeks, got transferred to nights and days and every other weekend. Mm-hmm. She'd been there 5 years now on days and no weekends, so she quit. And that the same kind of thing happened with about 5 or 6 other people, because this was kind of a rough and tumble place over time.
What about Sarah's neighbor? That's a good example.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
That was a good one.
Tell him. You tell
him. Sarah's, give me the little recorder, please.
My daughter Sarah in Pittsburgh, she lived in a neighborhood where the house is like, you know, they're real close and everybody's kind of into each other's business in a way. But her next door neighbor was this drug addict. And he was always like beating up on his girlfriend that he lived with, and they were making a lot of noise and stuff like that. And, you know, she was a little concerned. The guy seemed kind of violent and stuff. So she was, you know, talking to Richard regularly then, and Richard started saying barbed wire prayers with her about this neighbor. And I think it took about a month. But then he just all of a sudden one day he got up, he got on his motorcycle, he took off, and he didn't come back for the longest time. I think he was gone for at least 6 months, maybe longer than that. And so then one day he came back, and Sarah calls me up, and she's like, oh, I don't know if she called me up or called you up. I can't remember who she called up, and said, oh, that guy, he's back again. And so we just started doing more barbed wire prayers. And it didn't even take 24 hours. That very night, the guy OD'd. And went to the hospital, and he survived. But when he came home, never heard another peep out of him.
So this is very, very powerful. And I've taught it to a bunch of counselees, and they've used it in different settings where people, again, it's not if somebody, you know, eats your cookie or something. They have to be being kind of bad before you do this. But and make sure that you can live with the barbed wire prayers that you say. If you say, well, people don't gossip. In my world, people don't gossip. Or right? You want to say a positive. Speak.
People speak kindly of others.
Speak kindly of others. Well, you better be, because it'll cut you just as cheerfully. It does not care. Okay. So we need to ask ourselves, why do people put barbed wire around cattle? Is it because they want to hurt cattle? No. It's because they want to have boundaries so the cattle can be profitable. Why do we have rules in classroom? To oppress children? Or do we want to be able to teach the little darling something? And since they've liberalized the schools to where you can't discipline the children very easily, it's much harder to teach them anything. So the boundaries that I'm talking about make it possible for love and order to happen. But this, the important thing that you need to realize is that all of this rests on the authority of the Lord as owner of the whole world and your relationship to Him, so that you need to make sure that you have a good, strong conception of I am and this is mine. Mine. Say mine. Everybody say mine.
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 Mine. Mine.
Right? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. I'm His representative. Therefore, when I go to the restaurant, whose restaurant is it?
Mine.
My restaurant. Do people get to talk loudly and obnoxiously on their phone in my restaurant?
Nope.
No. Which is something Nancy will say, Richard. Beep. Off goes the phone. One time she saw me clear out a whole place one time. That was funny.
I just want to get up and leave.
So, that was kind of bad. But anyway, this really is hard to misuse as long as you'll stick with biblical positives. Okay, but it is powerful. Don't think it's weak. If you do it in your home, for let's say there's a lot of static in your home. In my house, there's harmony. If the person in your house is dedicated to being a pain in the butt, it's going to hurt them. They will get sick. How many people have we seen lose their voice? Mm-hmm. That's funny, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think that's funny. And they sort of know you did it. I remember there was another Christian counselor who was evil who lost her voice on one of the trips, and she was staring at me going, but she couldn't talk. And her husband really liked me. He's kind of an old hippie, so we're going like, yeah, I remember the Jefferson airplane, and oh, yeah. We're having a great time. He said, Richard, you still got those cough drops? My wife can't talk. So I'm giving him the cough drops to give to his wife, who's looking at me as, you know, if looks could kill, I would be dead for sure, which I thought was really funny. But I didn't tell her I did it, but they sort of know, you know. So anyway. Okay, so y'all going to try it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, try it. But if you do, remember, you're going to have to live with it, and it's just like a piece of fence. So don't do it casually. And, of course, you can deconstruct it if your husband falls over, you know, holding his throat. Like, something like that. So, okay, so that's a good tool, isn't it? All right. Now, do you want to talk about something? Or do you want me to keep...
Yeah, what about like prayers like no demons can manifest when somebody thinks of me, speaks of me? Here, let me see them. I had someone come to me, and they had elderly mother at a
I guess she was at some kind of nursing home or something, but she always hated to go visit her because as soon as she'd get there, the mom would start being very abusive to her verbally and cussing her up and down and stuff. And I had her say before she went in there, no demons can manifest when my mother thinks of me, speaks of me, or is in my presence. And from the very first day that she started saying that prayer, her mother stopped doing that. It was obviously a demon attacking her through the, you know, the mother. And so that's something that we tell people to say when they're going in different places. That's more of a defensive, would you say?
Yeah, there's a little bit more to that. There's actually five positions for that prayer, if you want to write it down. Okay. For instance, if you're dealing with a difficult person, you can make it better by binding their demons, but you don't have a right to kick their demons out because they have a right to have demons. But if their demons are attacking you, you have a right to defend yourself. So that's what that's based on. So whenever Jake thinks of me, I bind the demons in Jake. Whenever he thinks of me, speaks of me, is in my presence, sees me, or speaks of me to someone else. So they will not become perfect little angels, but they will become less difficult to deal with than they were previously. So, the next thing one thing that you need to realize is we are in a war, and if you like it, that's great, and if you don't, that's great, but you're in one anyhow. And civilians don't do real well in war. You know, would you like to be in World War II as a civilian? I think I'd rather have a gun. So, some of the ways you can protect yourself that we like is one is to say communion. And you saw how we did communion here. You can take out straight out of the Bible when Jesus did communion. Just a very simple communion. If you don't want to drink wine, you could drink anything. You can drink soda pop.
I've used soda, orange juice, water, whatever I have.
Largely, though, we like Manischewitz wine and matzah. So if you don't have a prohibition against alcohol, that's what I'd recommend. But it's not like it won't work if you use another substance. Saying Psalm 91 every day is a very smart thing to do. And there was a British regiment that agreed, that's 50,000 guys, that agreed to say that psalm every day. And they were in the thick of fighting. I think they were in Sicily in World War II somewhere where a lot of people around them, and not one person in the 50,000 guys died, which is just absolutely miraculous. And they got wounded, but they didn't die. That's pretty cool, I think. Ephesians 6, the armor of God, every day.
I say St. Patrick's breastplate, too.
Yeah. And St. Patrick's breastplate is good. How many of you are familiar with that? You are? Maybe I'll read it to them.
Okay. Oh, I have it typed out, too. I can forward it.
Do that.
To people, yeah. If you want it digitally. It's on my phone, yeah.
Good. This is the one that I like, though there's quite a few different versions that cover the same ground. This is like a song, almost, but I'm going to save you my singing. I bind into myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spice tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom. I bind into myself today. I bind unto myself the power of the great love of cherubim, the sweet well done in judgment hour, the strength and service of the seraphim, confessor's faith, apostle's word, the patriarch's prayers, the prophet's scrolls, all good deeds done unto the Lord, the purity of virgin souls. I bind into myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at even, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling wind's tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea around the old eternal rocks. I bind into myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eyes to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach. And it goes on about that long again. This is a very good prayer against witchcraft. It's a creepy time of year, a lot of stuff flying around. So, particularly if you're having trouble with human evil, you know, St. Patrick faced the Druids. He faced, an island given over to essentially witchcraft. So this prayer is very powerful in turning aside human evil. Demonic evil is different than human evil. It's good to know the difference. Humans have a right to be evil. Demons don't even have a right to be here. So in my opinion, demonic evil is easier to turn aside than human evil. But you don't necessarily have to be afraid of it. The general rule when working with people who are in the dark arts, when I say working with them, running into them, whatever, is largely don't engage with them unless you must. It's sort of like getting gum on your shoe. And I've had some funny confrontations with them over silly things. There's a pool that I like to go here in one of the subdivisions that some of them belong to. I mean, they have lives and go places and this, that, and the other. And this all took place in the spirit. We were just talking back and forth in the spirit. I never saw them in the flesh. And they were really, there's a lot of negative energy coming my way and all these bad vibes and all that stuff as I'm trying to go to my pool. And I went, oh, shucky darn, heck no, I'm not going to have that. That's what I said. And so I said, well, we can have war or I'll give you a pass and you give me a pass. What do you want? Sunshine, lollipops, no more trouble. Because it's bad for them to mess with somebody like me, too, or someone like you. So, but don't engage with them just for the fun of it. Do you see what I mean? If you see a witch shop, don't run in there and start praying over everything. Do all this stuff. Okay?
How do you know the difference between the demonic evil and human evil?
It feels different. And the simple part is there's humans involved, but I mean, it's the feeling. So just like, how can you tell my voice from Nancy's voice? They're different. I have, during the 70s, with the order, we had witches and warlocks and stuff to contend with up close and personal. So I've had a lot of experience with it. The real bad guys, you will never even see them. They don't dress up and show themselves very much. But one time, when I was a young brother in the order, I was getting on the bus and I saw a guy named Anton LaVey, and he wrote this thing called the Satanic Bible. And he was a great big guy. He looked kind of like a Russian, real stocky. And at the time, I probably weighed 170 and I was skinny and, you know, just imagine me 21, whatever. And I was just tall and all that. But I'd been in the order about 2 years. And I thought to myself, I said, well, what the heck? Light of Christ stronger than darkness of Satan. And this guy had on a cape. He looked like Dracula. He had on a cape and he had a big, you know, Bluto face. And he outweighed me by about 50 pounds. So he's sitting on there. Plus, and his picture's on the back of that Satanic Bible. And it was in a lot of bookstores. So I knew who he was. People knew who he was. So I went and sat next to him. And you know, I'm just sitting there like, hey, how you doing? And he started wiggling in his seat and getting all fidgety and all messed up. And I was just doing what they say in the order, letting your light shine. I was letting the energy of God come through me without really trying to attack him. Just kind of, you know, typical kid. He got up and stood through the rest of that ride. Now, that's funny. So that's kind of funny.